It's May 2nd, 2010. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Bolser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Pray with me. O Lord, we come into your presence this morning in need of your grace and your peace. We know in our heads that these come only from you, and I pray that they will move deep into our hearts. Thank you for those times when we hear of others' faith in Jesus Christ, which encourages us to trust you more. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That was Blessed, sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Today we are pleased to have Emeriti Professor Dr. George Shillington with us as our guest speaker. He is joining us for the month of May. George is one of the mentors while I was in Bible college that helped me experience God's Word as life-giving and transforming. George, welcome back to Sunday at CMU.
The New Testament book called Colossians was written in true letter form, according to the custom of the time in the Roman world. A letter of that time opens with a salutation consisting of the name of the sender or senders, the designation of the ones to whom the letter is going, and a greeting. Following the three-part salutation is the thanksgiving offered to God for the recipients. Then follows the body of the letter, where the pertinent issues are discussed, and finally, the closing greeting and benediction. Now, this letter to the Colossians has all the usual parts of an everyday letter in the Roman world, with one marked difference. Every part overflows with the grace of God in Christ Jesus. This particular letter, addressed to a city in the territory of Asia Minor, about 120 miles east of the major city of Ephesus, was written under the names of Paul and his friend in the faith, Timothy. But what interests us here this morning in particular is the opening lines of the thanksgiving part of the letter. Here's how it reads. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. A thanksgiving statement in a letter like this is not just a formal way of writing. It is that, to be sure. But the thanksgiving has to be genuine, something the readers will recognize in themselves. And another item the thanksgiving has, the theme of the main discussion that follows. So, what does this thanksgiving say to the first readers? And what does it say to us? How well do we measure up in our time to these words of thanksgiving to God? First, the writers of the letter had heard about the readers' faith in Christ Jesus. Now, this may seem like a very small thing, but it was not at that time, not in that world, and not in that city. At the time, the new movement of believers in Jesus Messiah was small compared to the larger Jewish synagogues and the other religious places of worship. The new folks stood out. Their faith was not simple, private believing in someone who once lived. It was not merely believing in Jesus and going on with business as usual, worship as usual, relationships as usual. When a person came to faith in Jesus in that world, It meant leaving the other well-recognized shrines in the cities and adhering strictly to the new community of faith in Jesus crucified and raised. Unheard of at the time. It was a visible matter of faith. Faith in Christ Jesus meant faithfulness to the cause of Christ Jesus. It meant living out that faith publicly and paying a price for doing so. Second, the readers must have recognized themselves in the next piece of thanksgiving, their love for all the saints. Again, love for all the saints is not as easy as it sounds, then nor now. First of all, saints are not those super special people who are singled out because of their outstanding life and actions. Saints, in the letters of Paul, are those who have been set apart from all the conventional affairs of society to serve God and others. The saints at Colossae are said to have love for all the saints. And does that mean those saints at Jerusalem? Down there, they speak a different language, come from a different cultural heritage. Are they included in this love? Yes, indeed. All the saints means even those who don't look like us, don't speak as we do, and do not have the same heritage as we do. But love is a strong word in the context of Christ Jesus. He loved others, all others, to the point of death, even death on the cross. I would say this thanksgiving is one of the best one could have from a friend. Thankful for the love that crosses borders and barriers of all kinds, ethnic, linguistic, and cultural. All the saints means just that, all the saints. Put that into today's context. Just think of the number and kinds of churches who honor Jesus in their services today. They conduct their services differently. They have different rituals and different languages. How far are we supposed to extend the love of Christ beyond our own limited community? The thanksgiving is not for limited love to some of the saints, but limitless love to all the saints. To be able to do that is nothing short of a miracle of grace working in our human hearts. Test it for yourselves this morning. What would the thanksgiving part of a letter to your group say? I trust it would say the same. We always thank God for your faithfulness towards Christ Jesus and for the love that you have for all the saints. Amen.
That was O Lord, You're Beautiful, sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Ken Reddick is my interview guest today. On January 1st of this year, Ken joined CMU as director of the Braintree Creation Care Center. Ken, welcome to the studio.
It's good to be here.
You talked about Braintree as a special place, and we often connect moving into nature as a way of connecting with God. Does God show up more profoundly in boreal forests than he does in other places? I don't know. I'm
and if I say yes to that, what are you going to do?
Well, then I want to hear what you say next.
No, by that I mean there are special places that are pristine, that are untouched. There can also be the English Garden, which is totally man-made here in Winnipeg. Gorgeous flowers from all over the world. That's special as well. So there are special places all over. And in fact, I think if there's something that a visit to Braintree should do, is that you go and find those other special places that are probably a little closer to home. I know people who have a special place when they look out of their upstairs window and they view a park across the street. And they say, when I sit there, that is a special place. You see, one thing that makes places special, for me, I think this is the bottom line. It's a place where I can go and I can feel near to God and I can pray. Where is that? Is that in maybe an unlit room, a closet? Could be. But there's a part of me that always says, I'd like it to be outdoors somewhere. It might be in the backyard. I have seen older people. There's a little elderly lady. Unfortunately, she's not doing it anymore. Last year was her last. She had this gorgeous little garden of flowers and vegetables all mixed together. And I could see myself sitting in the midst of that garden and saying, this is a place to pray. There's also by Braintree, there's a quarry. It's on Crown land, but we can walk over the Crown land. The quarry is like 50 feet from Braintree. It's a granite quarry. And they had a building there. There's 150 feet by maybe 40 feet, the ruins of this building. And now what's happened since 1919, when that quarry was shut down, the trees have grown up there. And a young girl, age 5, came there and stood and saw this outline of the building and these tall trees growing up and said, this is a place to pray. I feel that that's the Braintree Cathedral. We've got a natural cathedral. I take people there to a quarry and say, stand here. And everybody says the same thing. It's a special. Where do you find those special places in your life? And it can be all over. In a sense, it's not trite. It's most profound. Do you find it in a church? And do you look for it? Do you look for it? Do you identify it? Do you go back to it? But some of these places, I literally will go there and lie on my face with hands and arms and legs outstretched and weep. And I don't know why I weep. But it's a sense that here I'm touching, somehow God has come near. And is it a frame of mind? Perhaps. Is it psychological? Perhaps. But is it special for me? Absolutely. And so where is it for you?
So a good rut or a nice forest, Ken Reddick has found a good place. Ken, this has been wonderful. Thanks so much for telling some of your story, and thanks for taking on this role of director of this center. And we look forward to how it grows and continues to be a part of the larger story of CMU.
Thank you.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. May 10 to 14 is the CMU School of Writing, featuring instructors Margaret Swetman in fiction, Barbara Nickel in poetry, Joanne Clausen in life writing, and Anita Dare in writing for children and young adults. Then on June 15, it's the 9th annual CMU President's Golf Classic, and I invite you to register for that event. For more information regarding these and other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at www.cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website, and I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.